A roadblock on Easy Street.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the days of easy money around the world might be over for a while. The Bank of Japan today ended a five-year policy that kept interest rates near zero. It's the first step toward an eventual rise in rates, something that's already happening in the U.S. and Europe. But as Jocelyn Ford reports, the news isn't all bad.
The Bank of Japan's announcement is the equivalent of a doctor issuing a clean bill of health to a patient. Economist Glenn McGuire.
It's validating the recovery in the Japanese economy. The lost decade of the post-bubble environment is now over.
So the Bank of Japan no longer needs to flood its banking system with cash to boost economic growth and stop deflation. McGuire says the central bank's prognosis for Japan's economy is also good news for the global economy.
The American economy has been the principal driver of growth for over a decade, and we now have the world's second largest economy starting to contribute to growth.
The next step for the Bank of Japan would be to raise interest rates. Some analysts say that could happen in the fall. Others say it could be another year. I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
This Dubai Ports World deal is sinking fast. Last night, the House Appropriations Committee voted 62-2 to block DP World from holding contracts at U.S. ports. President Bush has said he'll veto any bill that keeps the company from being able to operate port terminals as part of a deal with the British company that runs them now. Meanwhile, the Financial Times says some private equity groups have approached DP World about buying U.S. port operations. That could wind up being a way out of this mess. Wall Street serves many masters. First, of course, is the almighty dollar. Then there's the alphabet soup of regulators, the NYSE, the NASD, the SEC. Today, Congress looks at a plan to pare down the oversight. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
In addition to federal and state agencies, two industry groups patrol Wall Street. One is a subsidiary of the New York Stock Exchange. The other is the former National Association of Securities Dealers, now called NASD. Mark Lakritz with the Securities Industry Association says consolidating the two could save the financial sector as much as $100 million a year in compliance costs.
We need to have one rule book, one set of interpretations, and one organization.
But some say the whole system is broken. Bill Singer is a former NASD attorney.
There's a bit of arrogance to any system that would say that the brokerage firms of Wall Street should have the dominant voice.
Singer proposes creating a brand new regulator that includes government watchdogs, investors, and advocates for public companies. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Football fans, you can rest easy. The NFL is not going the way of the National Hockey League. Owners and players agreed last night to extend their labor contract another 6 years. There'll be more money for players with a boost in the salary cap. Investors can't seem to get on the same page. The Dow gained 25 points to 11,005, but the Nasdaq dropped the point to 2267, hurt by a 3% slide in Google shares. The news from Japan today sent the Nikkei index up more than 400 points. This is Marketplace. We interrupt this broadcast to bring you an important and disturbing announcement. It says here that you might not be listening to me right now. I'm incredulous. Lisa Napoli knows why.
You probably aren't listening to us because you're talking on your cell phone. Measurement firm Bridge Ratings surveyed people who commute by car an hour or more each day. Seems 55% of them talk on the phone in the car, and 79% turn down the radio's volume so they can take those calls. Carl Marucci of the Radio and Television Business Report says the phone is poised to make yet another attack on that thing in your dashboard.
With your cell phone, you can stream radio stations over a little headphone and listen to a variety of stations from across the country over your cell phone.
Whatever device you're listening to, please keep your eyes on the road. Off the freeways in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. By the Society for Human Resource Management. HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation. helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Nobody beats Buffett, at least not over the long haul. The Oracle of Omaha is considered the greatest stock picker of the past half century, and investors eagerly await the annual report of his company, Berkshire Hathaway. Personal finance expert Chris Farrell is with us. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how you doing?
All right. Just got the report a few days ago, and as usual, Warren Buffett pulled no punches.
Absolutely not. My favorite section, or actually there are two favorite sections, but one of them was going after Chief Executive Officer compensation. He is just scathing, and he has his line in there. And Scott, it's just worth everybody to read this. He says that a CEO on the single day that he or she is cleaning out his office earn more than someone who makes their living cleaning toilets over their lifetime.
Where does he place the blame for that?
He doesn't place the blame with the individual investor or the shareholder. He places the blame with what he calls ratchet, ratchet, and bingo. These are the pay consultants. Essentially, you have the CEOs, and they pick their compensation committee members on the board, and then the pay consultants come in, ratchet, ratchet, and bingo. And then he has this aside in parentheses where he says, there's only one board that ever put him on the compensation committee. So that sort of leads to what it is. The other section that I just loved is titled, How to Minimize Investment Returns.
Come again? Why would you
How
want to do that?
How to minimize. This is a scathing look at the whole hedge fund, financial advice, financial services industry. And his basic point is this. You know, American business has done well over time. And you do well if you invest in good business. Problem is, people like to trade. And then they're thinking, well, maybe I don't do so well trading by myself. So I'm going to hire a pro. And all of a sudden, you're paying for the trades, plus you're paying for the pro. And then you think, you know what? If I pay up a lot of money, I can participate in a hedge fund or a private equity fund. And his argument is, for the individual investor, terrible for returns.
One of the lines that stood out to me in this year's report was, he said, most investors should just stay in their rocking chairs.
He has another famous phrase where he says, you know, I don't care if the New York Stock Exchange closed down for 5 years. I bought good companies. You know, no one likes this, but that really is the equity index approach. You just invest your money, and then you go off and do other things. You raise families, you do your job, you volunteer in your community, you have a barbecue with your neighbors. Your investments will do as well as corporate America does. And that's all you can ask. And all this buying, selling, being active, pretending that you're smarter than the market, for most of us, it's just not true. So sit in the rocking chair and clip your coupons.
Okay, Chris, it's been fun. Thanks again.
Yeah, it's been great.
Chris Farrell's economics editor for our weekend program, Marketplace Money. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
They come to the U.S., work here.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.